Hey, this is a Life Minds podcast. This is an online radio program that exposes you to the dangers of not renewing your mind. When your mind is changed, your life will be transformed. Remember, where your mind goes, your life follows. On this program, we will explore lots of spiritual materials that will help renew your mind. The mind is a servant, either to your spirit or to your flesh. The mindset is what controls you. The mind is what you control. Don't use your mouth as a thermometer, which only reads the temperature of your current condition. Allow God's word to change your mouth into a thermostat, which changes the temperature of your life by confessing what God says. Renewing of the mind happens when we celebrate small victories and focus on what God is doing instead of what God is not doing. Listen to our Life Minds podcast and be energized in your spirit, be renewed in your mind, and constantly focus on your Creator. Join me every week and let us dive in into the world of change and growth. Our Life Minds podcast. Keep living in the fullness of God's word. A Life Minds podcast. Keep living in the fullness of God's word. Hello everyone, I want to welcome you back to another brand new episode of a Life Minds podcast. I remain your host, Adelani Titilayo. Now today I want us to look at something very unique. You know that every topic on a Life Minds podcast is always unique. Why? Because they are topics that relate to our everyday life as Christians. Now, those topics, in one way or the other, affect the way we relate with our fellow men and the way we relate with God, our Maker. And the main purpose of this podcast is to help renew our minds, is to help energize our spirit and constantly focus us, make us focus on our Creator. So, there are many voices telling us different things. And one thing you must understand is that the Spirit is inviting us to change and repent. Along the line, we have done something bad. We have fallen into sin. We have sinned against God. We have come short of His glory. But the Spirit of God, who is the Comforter and the Holy Spirit, is there and is inviting us to change and repent. But Satan is always professing that repentance is not possible. It keeps whispering in our minds. It keeps telling us that God's mercies cannot just work out or cannot just purge our sins away. That is why it will keep leaving some people in everlasting shame. So in today's, what we want to talk about today is that we want to look at the difference between shame and guilt. Now, what are the impacts that shame does to you? What is the impact that the guilt brings to you? What are the impact it has upon your life? Now, there is a part of the man that produces shame, that produces guilt. Now, let me put it that produces guilt. We still come to shame. There's a part of a man that produces guilt. You know, as we're growing up, we've been under the teaching, we've been under the parenting of different people. Now, the conscience of a man can grow, can become sensitive over time based on the teaching we have exposed ourselves to while growing up. The conscience of a man can be so sensitive based on the moral teachings given to us by our guardians. It could be our father, our mother. You know, while we are growing up, they will teach us, okay, don't pick what is not yours. So once you pick what is not yours, they will tell you it's stealing, right? Yes, that's stealing. They're going to tell you, when you see an elderly person, what do? You greet. You show respect to an elderly person. You don't lie. So all those ones are moral teachings. They tell you, okay, it's good, these behaviors are good, these ones are bad. But once you do those things that are contrary to those laid down rules, what happens? You feel this kind of sense of guilt in you and tell you, oh, I have done something wrong based on what my father or my mother or my auntie, or depending on the person that's your guardian, then based on what this person has taught you, have done something contrary to what they've told me. So you feel very bad about it. So as you're growing gradually, you grow, you see that your conscience becomes so sensitive to those evil things that you might have done along the way, and it tells you that what you have done is bad. But you may be asking, but there are some people, their conscience is not sensitive. Yes, there are some people, their conscience is not sensitive. It's just based on the teaching or the moral upbringing. Yes, a father that steals or carry gun and arm robber, tell me, if a child sees someone out there doing those things, or he goes out there picking what is not his or ours, he sees it as a normal thing, so he doesn't see anything wrong in that. Why? Because the father or the mother has even done that. So there's nothing wrong. That child's conscience is not even coming alive, telling him that you just pick something that is not your own. So that child won't feel bad. So the conscience at that point in time will not be sensitive enough. It's not even sensitive. Except the Holy Spirit himself comes down to break such a person. So we must understand that every man is born with a conscience. Every man has a conscience, but it is only sensitive based on our upbringing, based on our environmental factors, based on what we are being exposed to while growing up. So that takes us to our topic today. What is the difference between shame and guilt, and how it affects us? So I want you to journey with me on this brand new episode of a Life Minds podcast. It will so much bless you. It will so much help you. What is the difference between shame and guilt? Knowing the difference between guilt and shame will help us understand or distinguish between God's voice from Satan's lies. I said earlier on that the voices we hear, a lot of voices we heard in our brain, in our minds, and I've even done a podcast concerning that antidote to noisy minds, how you can calm down those evil voices you're hearing in your mind. So there are lots of voices you hear in your mind, but how can you distinguish between that from God and that of the devil? Now, that is why you must have this at the back of your mind, that there is a difference between guilt and shame, and you must have this handy because it will so much help you. Now, when we talk about shame is the intense, painful feeling. You have this intense, it comes from within you. It's a painful feeling or experience or believing that we are flawed. So we feel unworthy, we feel unaccepted, and we feel that we don't belong anywhere. So you have the sense of unworthiness, unacceptance, and you don't have the sense of belonging. So you feel that you're flawed. Now you must understand that this voice is from the devil. So, and guilt is a sense of remorse and a desire to make amends. So when we look at guilt, it's based on what you have done. Yes, it's a thing of it's based on action. Yes, guilt is action based. While shame is character based, you know, the voice will just tell you that, oh, I'm a bad person. I feel ashamed of myself. I don't know whether you've heard some people say that. They will tell you, I feel ashamed of myself. I'm so bad. I'm not good enough. I'm just this. I'm just that. But for guilt, you know, said the voice will just say, I just did something very bad. I don't like what I just did. I am not happy about it. So So I hope you're getting the difference now. So guilt is an action-based, while shame is a character-based. So it's shame becomes part of you, that you just look at yourself that I'm just an embodiment of this bad person, I'm this one, so there's nothing good about me. So that's what shame can do. So shame leads you to wants to hide or makes you disappear. You just want to be on your own. You don't want to mingle with people. You just want to be on your own. So it makes you hide. Now remember what happened in the Garden of Eden. When God told Adam and Eve, don't eat out of this fruit. The day you eat out of this fruit, what happens? You will die. And funny enough, when they actually ate the fruit, the Bible says they realized that they were naked. And what happened? Immediately they went into the leaves, they make a fig trees for themselves, fig leaves, and they make clothing for themselves to cover themselves. And when they heard the sound of God walking in the midst of the garden, the Bible says God was calling unto Adam, and Adam hid himself. And God asked him, Adam, where are you? Where are you? Listen to the response of Adam. Adam said, Lord, I heard your voice and I was ashamed. So look at it. He said, I was ashamed. So Adam knows that what he has done was bad. Yes. But he had this kind of intense and painful feeling that he is a bad person. That nothing good is in him any longer. So that was the origin of shame. Even up till now, some people along the line, they feel so ashamed of themselves that they run away from the gathering of the saints. They run away from the gathering of the brethren, where they are supposed to come into God's presence. What do? They hide. They hid themselves, feeling that that's the only solution to their life. But you must understand something. Guilt that is not handled, you don't make amends, you just let it be like that and you allow the devil to fuel it. What happens? Guilt graduates to shame. You know, when you have talk about guilt, the Holy Spirit can come help you to make amends. But shame, that voice keeps telling you can't just make amends. There is no amendment you make that can work. So the voice keeps telling you there is nothing good about you, so you can never make amend. So guilt identifies an action that you regret. So it prompts you to change or make amends. It could be someone you wrong, you have done something bad to. Guilt will tell you, it brings up about this prompting that you should go ahead and make amends with the person. Now you must understand that shame attacks your character and it makes you feel worthless. So shame even makes it condemns you. You know, it keeps condemning you that what's this good about you? There's nothing good about you. So you're unlovable. You don't belong anywhere. Just go and hide. Just go and stay one place. So this is the voice of shame. So that is how it affects your character. Now, feelings of guilt, and on the other hand, do not attack your self-worth. So feeling of guilt does not attack your self-worth. It does not attack your kind of person. I told you that shame affects your self-worth. It affects your self-confidence. I have a podcast on that too. Symptoms of low self-confidence. Things you should know whether you are self-confident or not. And types of confidence. So when you are ashamed of yourself, it affects your self-worth. So now this realization often prompts you to change those actions and become better. That is for guilt now. So when it comes, the prompting comes that, oh, I've done something bad. So and you look at, I just need to make amends of what I've done. That feeling of guilt prompts you to change
I will never, because it happens to me. Yes, there are some times I will do some things and it just, I don't just feel happy about it. Because next time, I wouldn't want to repeat such a thing, because if I repeat it, I will not be at peace. So in order to save myself and help myself, avail myself of guilt, uneasiness, let me just avoid it. You know, sometimes if I eat some kind of food, so I feel guilty. Yes. Yeah, you may be wondering, what's wrong with this lady? Yes, there are sometimes I eat some kind of food and I feel guilty. Now, I'm asking yourself, why do you feel guilty? Yeah, I am so allergic to some kind of food. And when I eat such food and I feel sick or I feel lethargy or somehow, the Holy Spirit will come to me and say, but I told you not to eat this thing. This food is not good for your body. It's not good for your health. So why eat it? Why are you eating it? So why not stay away from such food? So this kind of things. So whenever I ended up eating this food, I feel so guilty. And another thing is that, you know, the Bible has warned us not to magnify or make our appetite our God. You know, some people make their belly their God. They adore their belly. They adore their appetite. Anything that their appetite wants, they give it. Anything their stomach or their belly wants, they give it. You know that it's a sin. So when we say idolatry is not when you have an image in the corner of your room and you're bowing down to that image and said, okay, this is my God. No. Anything can be an idol in your life. It could be your work, it could be anything, something you treasure above God could be an idol. So even your appetite, even your belly can be your idol. So my appetite is dictating to me that I need to eat this thing. And I know that this thing is not just good for me, it's not good for my health. And finally, my appetite wins and I end up eating it. Oh my God. In the next days, the next 2-3 days, I feel bad about it, that I never listen. Why would I just feel like this? Why would I just, you know, keep listening to my appetite? But by the time the Holy Spirit helps me to overcome that guilt, I want to tell you, I make sure I don't go back to it. Because those states, those days of uneasiness wasn't funny at all. So I will not repeat it again. So that is what guilt is. It tells you, point out to you what you have done and helps you make amends. The Holy Spirit comes and helps you make amends. So it's the Holy Spirit that does the works of conviction. You know, He convicts you of sin. He points out that this is what you have done is wrong. And you yourself, you now said, okay, I guess what I've done is wrong. Then I need to make amends with the help of the Holy Spirit. But for shame, it's not like that. That is what the tool the devil uses to weigh down children of God. That is what the devil uses to rob many children of God of their blessings and moving forward. So it takes away salvation from them. By telling them, by dipping them and let them rub themselves in the mud of shame. Telling them that repentance is not possible. Telling them that you cannot just repent of your sin. Telling them that nothing can move you forward in your journey of salvation. All right. I hope you're getting me. So shame attacks your character. It attacks your self-worth. But guilt does not. So one thing you must understand, the Spirit of God's voice will never ever encourage you to hate yourself. But rather, it will remind you that you are a child of God. You have eternal worth. You are a joint heir with Christ Jesus. So that voice, not tell you that you are evil, you are bad, you are worthless, so you cannot make it. So he can't tell you that. The Spirit of God will keep telling you that you're a child of God. The Spirit of God will keep telling you that you have eternal word. You're a joint heir with Christ Jesus. So one thing you must know is that shame tries to convince you that you are not good enough. And you shouldn't even be trying, that you cannot even make it. So I hope with all these differences I'm giving you, you can differentiate between the voice of the devil and the voice of God. You can know that this word I'm hearing, this voice I'm hearing, is not from God. It's not from the Spirit of God. Rather, it's from the devil. It's the devil that will tell you that the only way you can deal with what is on ground is to run away and hide, is to become invisible, is to hide from people, is not to open up, just to keep it to yourself. You should know that this voice is from the devil telling you that repentance is not possible. So as a child of God, hiding sin from God is not a sign of true repentance. And you cannot even hide anything from God. But God wants you to confess it. He wants you to say it with your mouth. Said, he that covereth his sin shall not what? Prosper. He now said, he that confesses and forsake. So there's a place of confession and there's a place for forsaking. You confess and forsake. Such person will obtain mercy. So you cannot even hide your sin from God. Everything is open to God. So hiding and running, keeping to yourself, no. I don't think I can just handle it. Let me just be on my own and that's it. You should know that that word is from the devil. I think I mentioned a case of a lady some time ago I come in contact with. And this lady, she said, I've been having issue getting pregnant all this while. And let's pray together. I said, okay. I know that there's nothing God cannot do. God is a God of all things. He can do everything, can make everyone. He can answer prayers, pull down mountains for you. So I keep encouraging her that God can do this for you. God can do that if you just believe. I never knew I was just even talking to a basket. She was not even receiving anything from me. So along the line, we kept praying, and on one occasion like that in the morning, she just opened up, said, "Ma, please, I don't want to pray again. I don't just want to pray again." I said, "Why? What's happening?" She said, "I have done a lot of abortion in the past. I have done a lot of abortion in the past. In the course of my abortion, one of my fallopian tubes was damaged. And right now, she used to feel this kind of discomfort in her stomach. She feels this kind of hotness in her stomach, and she's not always comfortable. And I want to tell you, whenever she doesn't find it comfortable going to church any longer, she feels that what she has done is bad, and she can never ever receive from God. She believed that she can never ever, that God can never forgive her. That she has been an author of her misfortune. She has been the one causing or delaying her getting pregnant. That she has been the one that has been causing a problem for her now. Now the husband, I don't think the husband is even aware of what has been wrong with her. So she feels this. Her own now is not guilt now. I hope you're getting it. Hers is not guilt. But rather, she's so ashamed and she's wallowing in the pit of shame. The devil is telling her, why pray? You can't even pray. Why will you pray? Prayer cannot solve your problem at this time. Prayer cannot do anything for you. Prayer cannot move you forward. Why? Because you are the one that caused all this problem in the first place. So the best thing for you now that this thing is now, just stay on your own and run away from wherever prayers is being said. So you can just imagine. Now, what I just said now is a true life story. It's not a story I just cooked up. And it's someone I had a conversation with one-on-one. So she's not interested in prayers any longer. Then, as time, I just start encouraging and try to tell her that these voices that you're voicing out is from the devil. Well, I couldn't hear from her any longer. But I'm still praying for her. That is the word from the devil. So whenever there is prayers and all that, she just run away and hide. So shame will keep telling that the only way you can deal with all this mess around you, all your mistakes, all your failure, is to run away and hide and become invisible. So I've said that you can never ever hide your sin from God. Why? Everything is so, so visible to God. So you must come and have this at the back of your mind that it is only from God you can receive forgiveness. Now, in the next episode, we'll be talking about how to deal with shame. How to deal with shame. You can actually deal with shame. You are hearing me, you have been wallowing in the pit of shame. I've said this before that if you're guilty about a particular thing of what you've done and you don't handle it, you don't tell the Holy Spirit that, okay, I need to just make amends, and you're not even making amends, before you know it, the devil steps in. He starts suggesting shame to you. And before you know it, it changes your character. Before you know it, you are down. And you become ashamed. You become shameful. You feel that you are not good enough. You start feeling that nothing good can come out of you. You start feeling that, I think my life is just there. Let me just live it the way I want to live it. And the devil comes, starts suggesting a lot of things to you. So in the next episode, we will talk about how to deal with shame. If you will journey with me on this interesting topic, which will so much help you. And lots of people out there, you might be finding it very difficult to even obey the voice, dictates, or discern the voice of God. So this is one pointer that you must have at the back of your mind too. This is one thing for you to test the word of God. To test that, is this word coming from God? Is this word coming from the devil? So there are a lot of things that talks to a man. There are a lot of things that minister to a man. So this is one thing, one litmus test. You know, while we are still, we're made to understand that there are litmus tests to test a presence of some substance, of chemical in the substance, yes. So the litmus test for you, that is this word coming from God? Is this word coming from Lucifer himself? So journey with me on this mind renewing topic. God bless you. Every episode of this podcast, the Life Mind podcast, is downloadable. Feel free to download this podcast, like, share, you know, drop your comment. I'll definitely respond to every comment. And if you want to reach me, you're looking for someone to pray with you and some words of encouragement, you can reach me on this number, +234 90 472 109. I take it again, +234 90 9247 2109. Always remain and be focused on your Creator. So this is a Life Minds podcast, a podcast that renew your mind, energize your spirit, and constantly connect you to your Creator. Thank you and bye for now.